Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. By the way, it is a Thursday. TD not here for the TD Power Hour. As TD posted over the weekend, his mother passed away. He is attending to the memorial service and I would assume spending time with his family. And I cannot say to you guys how much it hurts me that TD's going through that. And so we'll be keeping TD in our thoughts, but he will not be joining us this week for the Power Hour, which is one of the most popular hours every single week. And I just hope that the following that TD's built, TD's mother's a huge football fan, and I just hope that the following TD's built and the respect he has, I hope he knows, because there's no doubt in my mind that his mother must have been very, very proud of the career that TD's had. So no TD today, but that's why. Thursday night football, Browns and Steelers, kind of a stinky one, right? And we've kind of gotten used to good Thursday night football. We had the Commanders and the Eagles. We had the Ravens and the Bengals. Like, you know, good quarterbacks and good teams and some playoff implications or whatever. And now we get the stinky Browns and the somehow good Steelers. And while that is absolutely not a sexy matchup, apparently a Browns loss could be very entertaining. According to Tony Grossi in Cleveland, Tony Grossi, who Floyd said was the guy in Cleveland, very dialed in, has been there forever, kind of like a John McClain in Houston. According to Tony Grossi, quote, on Twitter, "Methinks Browns nearing a decision on Mike Vrabel. Pittsburgh game will be huge for Kevin Stefanski. Life isn't fair." Translation, if they lose to the Steelers, Tony's not saying it, but he's saying it. He thinks Stefanski could be out tomorrow and Mike Vrabel could be in. Now let's go back to June or May or whenever it was, when Mike Vrabel was hired by the Browns, and I said, I think he's the coach in waiting over there. I think he's the backup plan with Kevin Stefanski. That if things don't go our way, Vrabel, get in there. And the Browns gave Stefanski a contract extension, and people were like, ah, you said Vrabel was going to take his job. I'm like, you guys think Jimmy Haslam giving a coach a contract extension means anything? Mike Vrabel was not brought to Cleveland on accident. And again, Jimmy Haslam has a reputation for changing the coach. It is actually amazing. The Browns have, with Deshaun Watson at quarterback, actually had some stability with the head coach in the front office, which we're not used to. But that's only going to last so long. And so this is perfect. It makes sense why the Browns would do this. Again, it's not fair to Kevin Stefanski that he's going to get fired because they're 2-7, but Deshaun Watson was the quarterback, and there was no real backup plan with Deshaun. They made it to the playoffs without Deshaun. There was no real backup plan as far as Deshaun was concerned. And so if you're the Browns, it's probably there is a good argument to make to keep Stefanski, who is a two-time coach of the year. But this is the NFL. And the NFL is not fair. Life is not fair, and the NFL is not fair. So if you're the Browns, this actually might not be a terrible decision. Because when you compare your job with the other jobs that are out there, it's probably not that attractive. And Vrabel's going to have some picks now. Other than location, where we all know Vrabel is from Ohio, and payroll, where we know Jimmy Haslam spends on the team, there is probably nothing about the Cleveland Browns that would attract Mike Vrabel to be the coach. The quarterback position is the single worst QB situation I think I have ever seen. Because they still owe Deshaun for two more years. Nobody's going to trade for the contract. If you cut the contract, you're paying out $50 million a year for the guy not to play for you. It's bad. the veterans on defense they have that have been very, very good, Denzel Ward, Myles Garrett, they're aging out of their primes. Jeremiah Owosu-Koromoa, again, aging out of primes. Grant Delpit, aging out of primes. Aging out of primes, aging out of rookie contracts. And then, what star players do they have on offense? Jerry Judy's no good. They traded Amari Cooper. Nick Chubb, I don't think, has ever been the same since he got hurt. Obviously, we know the quarterback situation is an unmitigated disaster. The left tackle has been benched because he decided to sit out until he was 100% because he's a pending free agent. They don't have any stars on offense. So other than location, because Vrabel's from Ohio, what good is there? And if you get the Browns job, not only do you have the single worst quarterback situation maybe ever, but you have to play Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson twice a year. So if a coach has options, they'll probably look elsewhere before they'll look at the Browns, simply because I don't even see a path to victory if you go to the Cleveland Browns. And you've got the owner, and you got the analytics bros upstairs that love to do things by the numbers. It's not a sexy job. New Orleans is probably sexier, albeit not by much. Jacksonville, where there's Trevor Lawrence, absolutely sexier, even though Trevor may not be very good. What's good about Cleveland? But if the Browns do promote Mike Vrabel, they get a first-hand look at Vrabel on the job. And they probably get the opportunity to retain Vrabel, because, again, after the season's over, they can do their Rooney Rule interviews and then give the job to Mike Vrabel 5 minutes after the season's over. And if you're Vrabel, bird in the hand, you got a coaching job, or do you want to risk it for some of these other jobs? Cincinnati could come open, Philly could come open, Dallas could come open, whatever. But again, do you risk it if you've got the bird in the hand being the coach of the Cleveland Browns? So it actually makes sense, even though I wouldn't do that. But it makes sense. If you're kind of out on Stefanski, even though he has one coach of the year, and I don't think you can pin the fact that this Browns team is terrible given the contract that the quarterback has and the trade that the owner made in order to get the quarterback, I don't think that you can blame Stefanski. But again, this is the NFL. And in the NFL, owners just decide, yeah. And one of the big things when it comes to a head coach is, well, if I fire him, who am I going to replace? Well, they got the guy on staff. And he is going to be a hot commodity. Look, I'm not going to read too much into the Diana report because it came from Diana, and we know how in cahoots Diana and Vrabel are. But I do think that there is something too, again, not 100%, that Vrabel will have his choice of any job. But there are teams that want Vrabel. There will be teams. There will be eight jobs that open at least, and one of those teams, probably three of those teams, are going to want Mike Vrabel. So if you're Cleveland, you get a firsthand look at Vrabel's coaching. If you already know that you're not in for Stefanski, what harm does it do? So if that's the case, if Tony's right, it's covered the Browns forever. If he's right, Mike Vrabel gets the job tomorrow if they lose. Ian, are we rooting for the Steelers today?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I mean,
just to see what happens.
Vrabel back in coaching? I mean, this has been such a disappointing season anyways. It's like,
give us something to talk about.
Yeah. And then, again, I don't know. Like, if Vrabel becomes the interim coach, does Vrabel have to stay if they want him? Or could Vrabel say, like, nah, I'm interim coach the rest of the year, but Cincinnati just came open. They have Joe Burrow. I'm taking that job. And I don't know the answer to that either. So again, tonight, Steelers-Browns, stinky game, but Vrabel might return to the NFL, and I'm here for that. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025 here on our program. Plus, how would we feel if Vrabel actually coached the Browns? Because I do have a thought on that. We'll get to it next. I'm going to accompany 1025 the game.
My worst case scenario is they get rid of him and we go to this coaching search crap. Like the Adams don't have time to do that, Tony.
That's why Vrabel is hovering over this thing. It's either Stefanski or Vrabel, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest, I would be okay with either. I think Stefanski would get a bum deal if he doesn't come back, but replacing him with Vrabel would help, you know, heal that wound, right? It would be a very popular move, I would imagine, and it would be logical, but I'm not advocating it.
That was Tony Grossi again. He's covered the Browns forever. I love the first guy in that where he's like, I don't want any of this coaching search crap. Like, that's how the league works. You fire your coach, you interview candidates, and then you decide who the best person to bring back is. I think that's pretty simple, right? So, that's their business. But again, the talk is Vrabel. And I was thinking about this morning. And I don't know if, does Vrabel take the job simply because it's one of 32? And because, I mean, he took your job because it was one of 32. Takes it because it's one of 32 and it's his hometown. Does he take the job because of that? I don't know. But as far as I'm concerned, if the Steelers lose and Vrabel gets the job tomorrow, then go Browns. And I'll tell you why. I do not want Mike Vrabel coaching the Browns next year. There are going to be however many jobs open. The Jets are already open. The Saints are already open. Cleveland probably, if this is true, is going to come open. Who else is coming open, Ian? Jacksonville's coming open.
Yep.
The Raiders are coming open. That's five. I'm trying to think, you know, what other teams are out there that are going to come open. There's probably going to be about eight openings. So here's why I'd hate Mike Vrabel to the Browns. Number one, the Browns are currently not on the Titans 2025 schedule. If Vrabel gets a job somewhere else, I want them playing the Titans next year, preferably in Nashville. The Browns are going to finish in last place in that division, but there is no guarantee that the Titans will finish in last place in the AFC South because the aforementioned Jacksonville Jaguars are equally as terrible. So you have to edge out Jacksonville for last place, and then you'll get Vrabel next year, but that game will be on the road, and I want Vrabel at home. I want fans to turn your attention to the Jumbotron, and please welcome Mike Vrabel! And I do wonder what the crowd reaction would be. So I'd much rather have Jacksonville. Mike goes to Jacksonville. You're guaranteed to play him twice a year. And boy, wouldn't that be spicy. And boy, wouldn't we find out if Trevor Lawrence is actually good. And boy, wouldn't we find out if Vrabel could actually coach. Or Indy. You know, Steichen, he might be on the hot seat. I think he should be. But throw Indianapolis in the mix there. Number two, I don't want Vrabel coaching the Cleveland Browns because it's not a large market. And I want to see Mike Vrabel coach the Dallas Cowboys, the Philadelphia Eagles, or even the New York Jets, where they've got a media that shows up every day with a rocket up their tush, trying to catch you in every which way, where every single passive-aggressive shot that Mike Vrabel takes, and the thing I learned about Vrabel over the years from covering Vrabel, sometimes I was the center of this, most times I wasn't. But the thing about Vrabel is, when it comes to taking a crack at somebody, I don't know how you guys are with your own lives. I certainly am this way sometimes on the radio, and I have to end up apologizing for it. But there are some times where there's just an opportunity to say something that maybe I know I shouldn't say, but I can't help myself, and I say it, and then I got to pull back. Like, I am like, oh, yeah, I shouldn't have said that. I couldn't have. Here's the deal. When it comes to Mike Vrabel, he can't help himself. He cannot help himself from sticking his foot in his mouth to be an a-hole. And if you do that in Dallas, and you do that in New York, and you do that in Philly, one of two things is happening. Either you'll run them over the same way you ran everybody over here, or you will get run out of town and exposed for being a fraud. I want that. I want to see Vrabel in the big city. And then finally, here's the other reason why I don't want Vrabel to be the coach in Cleveland. The Browns stink. They have no shot at being good next year. And if Vrabel takes that job and becomes the head coach of the Browns next season, he has a built-in excuse for why they're going to be awful. Because that Deshaun Watson contract is a complete and total albatross, and I don't know why anybody would take that job with that contract on their hands other than, hey, it's a head coaching job in the NFL. Isn't that how the Texans ended up with Lovie Smith? Somebody had to take the job. So, again, if Vrabel goes to the Browns, you're probably not going to see him next year. If you do, it'll be in Cleveland. Nobody wants that. Two, like, the passive aggressiveness in Cleveland. Nobody cares about the Browns unless they're good, and they won't be. And then three, just like I said, they'll stink. And if they stink, Vrabel has the built-in excuse of the Deshaun Watson contract, and it is a valid built-in excuse. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matthew in Nashville says, Jared, you forgot about the Bears and the Giants. I could do Vrabel with the Giants. The Bears are going to go with an offensive coach. It seems to me, and again, what do I know? It seems to me like Ben Johnson is trying to bulldoze his way into that Chicago job and get personnel control. Remember, Ben Johnson was going to be the Commanders coach, and then he and Adam Peters couldn't see eye to eye. And normally that's usually over power. So I saw a report, I think it was Schefter or somebody, who came out and said that Ben Johnson may not want to go to Chicago because he may not want to deal with what they have going on internally there. And what that told me was Ben Johnson wants to be in charge. And maybe Ben Johnson is such a good play caller and such a hot name that you got to do it for Caleb Williams' sake and put Ben in charge. But I don't know how that'll work. But again, that's their business, not mine. I think Ben Johnson ends up there. I could do the Giants. Giants I could do. One texter says, none of this will happen because if it does, then Amy won't have to pay him anymore. Vrabel doesn't care about that. Vrabel interviewed for the Charger job. Vrabel interviewed for the Panther job. Vrabel interviewed for the Falcons job. Vrabel wants to be coach. I mean, why else would he go to Cleveland? To eat hot dogs? Like, again, Vrabel wants to be a head coach. And I'm cool with Vrabel being head coach again. I want it to be somewhere interesting. One texter says, isn't Vrabel too intimidating? So that was that whole Diana thing that came out last year where Diana said, you know, that she talked to some league executive who said that Mike Vrabel was too big and too intimidating to be hired as head coach. I remember when that all went down. I was at the Super Bowl and everybody was talking about it. And I was like, Mike Vrabel is not too big, nor is he too intimidating. The problem with Mike Vrabel is that he's a jerk. Now, the truth is, sometimes jerks work in coaching. Bill Belichick, jerk. It worked. Phil Jackson, not a jerk. Bobby Knight, jerk. Jerks don't always win. But Urban Meyer, jerk. Vrabel's a jerk. And also, look at Vrabel's track record. Urban Meyer, Belichick in New England. You know, my heyday of football was Cowher with the Steelers. I think Cowher kind of had like a gruff demeanor on the sideline. I don't think Cowher was a jerk. And he did play for Cowher. And I believe he also played for Romeo Crennel. And I don't know Romeo very well, but I don't think he's a jerk. So, again, when it comes to Vrabel and where Vrabel may go, I want it to be a big media market. And I want to see what happens. And, again, I mean, Tony Grossi says that he could be the coach of the Browns tomorrow if they lose to the Steelers tonight. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. One texter says, Vrabel to the Giants, get the band back together. Bowen is already the DC. Tim Kelly is the tight ends coach, and he could be promoted to offensive coordinator. Here's what I want to know. And let me say this. If I had to pick a head coach, Vrabel or Arthur Smith, I would personally pick Arthur Smith. But for some reason, I think that Atlanta thing is going to hover over Arthur for a little bit. And I don't know what Arthur's contract situation with the Steelers is. But if Vrabel got Arthur and they had a quarterback or the opportunity to get a quarterback, they'd be good again. But if Vrabel stuck with Downing or Kelly or one of those guys, maybe not so much. 615-737-1025. Rough road trip for the Predators. And right now it's like one baby step forward, two steps backwards. And we're a quarter of the way into the season. And it's kind of the same old story. Hal will join us next. And I do wonder what Hal has to say. Because I've said, I'm not firing the coach. But I understand people that do think that. So we'll talk to Hal about it next. Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, the long Predators road trip is over. And this was supposed to be the road trip where the Predators sequestered themselves and got themselves back close to ground level. And it didn't exactly work out that way. They got a point against Colorado. They got a point against Edmonton. They got shut out by Calgary. They got shut out by Seattle last night. And they did beat Vancouver in there. And every time they win a game like Vancouver, they then turn around and lose a game like Seattle. And the truth is, we're 20 games into the season. We're basically a quarter of the way there. And this team seems to have the same problems. Cannot score 5-on-5, and the quote-unquote good players, the new players, they're not playing very well. And hockey is a fire-the-coach sport. We saw that with Boston fired Jim Montgomery this week. I'm not saying fire Andrew Burnett because I don't believe that it is time. And when I believe it's time, I'll tell you. But I do not believe it's time. I think they're playing hard. I just, for whatever reason, it's not clicking. But again, if you're a hockey person that thinks, got to change a coach, I see that side of the coin too. That's not what I believe, but I understand. And as they say, it's getting late early. Hal Gill joins us now on the program. He's fresh off the road trip. So, Hal, why is it that this team seems to have a positive game against Vancouver and then follows it up with the dud last night? And why is it that the 5-on-5 game just cannot get going?
Yeah, it's frustrating. I'm trying to figure it out myself. After that first period last night, I thought for sure, like, this is a good game. They're playing the right way, defending well. You know, Juice had to make some big saves, but that's what you expect. But they generated offensive zone pressure. They just didn't get those grade A scoring chances. They couldn't find a way to get to the interior to get that first goal. And I think if they get that first goal, the game changes. And they're just having such a hard time finding 5-on-5 scoring that can put them into a position where they set up for a good game. I feel like in Vancouver, they did so many things well. And your penalty kill does well. Your power play scores some goals. You get, the captain steps up with a big shot. Like, everything kind of fell into line, and you're saying, okay, this should be something that they can do repeatedly because they do have those players that can do that, and they've done it over their careers. But it's frustrating when it's not working out. That second period, it just got away from them. And, Seattle, I'll give the Kraken credit. They came out and pushed hard and then took over the game. And then the third period, you're thinking maybe they can push back and they give up a goal right away on the first shift in the third period, and it's deflating, and it's back to the frustration, and it's back to, okay, nothing is going our way. And I'm having a hard time understanding it. It's a tough one. And I know for the guys too.
Well, why do these veteran acquisitions that I know don't stink because I've seen them play, why are they playing the way that they're playing right now? Is it the Burnett system? Is it the frustration of the 0-5 starts lingered on and grown? Or what is it?
It's tough to pinpoint. And I will say, you'd said it, 20 games into the season, something has to change. There's got to be, whether that's internal with internal personnel, with you're playing different players or certain players are getting benched, or you're bringing up new blood and new life to the system. or, you know, you're changing the system and itself and the way you're doing it. Like, something needs to change because these are good players that are not playing well. And, you know, whether they have to take a game off or, you know, someone else, you know, you kind of have to be drastic at this point without selling your future short. You know, I think on paper, this team looks like they could be a good team. And so you want to hold on to that, because once they click, and you hope it was going to click on this road trip at least, and it partially did, but it's not good enough. So I think something has to change, and that's got to be between, you know, Barry Trotz and the management and the coaches and ultimately the players. There's got to be a change somewhere.
You know, Andrew Burnett, Hal, has always been a guy who hasn't been afraid to scratch a player. And, I mean, I remember the whole Tyson Berry thing last year where he got scratched. He didn't like it, and Trotz came on the show, and he said, look, I've scratched Ovechkin. So this idea that you're going to demand a trade because you got scratched does not fly with Barry Trotz. But the guys that are getting scratched right now are the Novaks, the McCarrans, the Evangelista got scratched last night. I see both sides of the coin here when it comes to the veteran players. For instance, Jonathan Marchessault had a turnover that led to the game-winning goal against Edmonton in overtime. Same with Brady Shea against Colorado. If Andrew Burnett goes to scratch that guy, a veteran guy making a lot of money who is got skins on the wall, in the case of Marchessault, a Conn Smythe, if he goes to scratch him for one night, is that different in the locker room than it would be if he scratches Tomasino, McCarron, Smith, whoever?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you got to tread lightly. You got to know what buttons to push. I think it's, you know, as a coach, I think Brunette has tried to show faith in the internal leadership and not rock the boat so much. You know, like, I just, these guys are going to work through it. But eventually there's a point where you say, okay, you know, this isn't going to cut it anymore. And so you got to make changes, and you got to make tough decisions. But I think up to this point, I've liked the patience that he's had, you know, like, you know, believe it, showing them what they did wrong and trying to improve and get better every day. But also at the same time, believing in his guys. You don't want to lose them. It's early in the season to lose guys. And if you lose guys, then you lose everything. And so I think he's done a great job of riding that line and okay, we need to push it, but we need to be patient. But like I said, you know, at some point it has to change. It's a winning business, and you have a team that should win. And if they're not doing it, there's a reason why, and you got to change it.
Hal, if you were on this team, would you look at it like, okay, we got to win two out of the next three for probably the rest of the season? Or would you look at it like, hey, we got to go pull a seven-game streak off here. We got to go do something drastic, similar to last year. We got to do something to get hot, to get ourselves out of this mess. How would you look at it?
I've been on teams that have done it both ways, where a coach will come up and say, okay, this is what we need as a record. We need to win this game, that game. We need to, like you said, two out of three for the rest of the season gives us 95 points. We're in the playoffs. I've been on that team, and I've been on the other one. I think the best teams that I've been on are the ones that, like, this game matters. And not only does, you know, this game matter, but like our power play in this game matters. Our penalty kill needs to be at this percentage in these groups of games. And like, you take it one game at a time and you break down all the pieces. I think that's the only way you can do it. And as a player, even more so, I think you have to look at it as, this is my shift. My next shift is the most important, and I need to manage the game. I need to be aware of, hey, there's 1 minute left. I'm not going to try to make the extra play. There's 1 minute left in the period, or, you know, we're down two. This is when I need to make a play. And I think you need to look at players that can seize the moment and go at it, because then you get that confidence from that one next play, and then you build off that confidence. And we all know how it goes. Like last year, it's still fresh in their mind that, hey, we can turn this around, and we did it one game at a time, and we went on an 18-game heater. And that's in their mind. They know they can do that. Now they just got to go out and take that first step. But that first step should have been in Vancouver, and that's why it's frustrating. You know, that was the first step. And they showed signs of that against the Boston Bruins. They played a great game. They need to continue that. You know, like, but it hasn't clicked, and that's the frustrating part. You just have to keep hoping that each new step is going to lead to more wins.
Hal, I'm going to tell you what I think is going to happen here. And I was wrong because I thought this team was going to be good from the jump this year, so what do I know? But I think it is going to click for this team, and I think it's going to click too late. I think they're going to get hot. I think they're going to make this a very entertaining, you know, February, March, and they're going to fall 3 points shy of a playoff spot because of how much time they've wasted. Is it when does it get to the point where you've been through these long seasons where you wasted too much early on?
I think such a hard line to find, because if you're looking on paper, we should be able to climb back in this. And if we do make it, if we do climb back into it, we have a team that could win. You know, I think if you're looking at it as, okay, even if we, you know, on paper, we're not that good. We're never going to be that good. I look at San Jose last year, like, how do they expect to win? You know, they're not going to win. So even if they go on a heater and somehow make the playoffs, they're still not going to win. But I think this team, in my opinion, and I still believe that they could win in the playoffs. So I think you hold on to it a little bit longer, and let that leash go. But at the same time, you know, you got to push the right buttons. The hard part is finding what buttons do you want to push, and finding out when is the right time to push what button. And I think that's, you know, that's what Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett have to figure out I believe in this team. We can do something, but we're not doing it right now. Can we get to a spot where we believe in it, or do we have to cut ties on it? Because, you know, you have, I think that this team has a couple years in this window. They, you know, you're looking at, you know, 3 to 4 years where this could be a good team and make an impact. They're in the wheelhouse of Staros and Yossi, and you know, I think these guys can turn it around and play, and you're in their window, so you don't want to give up on it. But it's right now it's discouraging, and you got to do something to change the narrative and change how everything goes. So, you know, I think we're at that point where something needs to happen.
Hal Gill, as always, joining us. Hal, thank you. We will talk soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, Jared. Appreciate you.
Yep. Hal Gill on our program, Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game.
Stamkos up high. Yossi one-timer. Blocked behind the net. Nyquist tries to bat it off the court's back. He was wise to it. Got a piece of it with his pad. Puck below the goal line. O'Reilly trying to get out of traffic with it. Yossi can't keep it alive. Yanni Gord ahead on his left-handed backhand for the empty net. And he got it. 3-0 Kraken with 2:43 to go.
That was last night for the Predators. And I will say, this season has underwhelmed in almost every way possible. This season has been completely unacceptable. And it's like Hal kept saying, something's got to change, something's got to change. And I don't think Hal means the coach, but we shall see what comes of this road trip and the fact that it wasn't what they wanted. It wasn't what they were hoping for. And what that means for the future of the team. Because while they're going to work at this together, they're not going to work at this together forever. Then they're going to figure something out. Vandy Basketball is next. Stillman & Company. We'll see everybody tomorrow at 2.